You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, and the show is Community Connections. And I'm going to introduce you to a man that I've spoken to two or three times before. Always a joy to talk to him. It's Victor Purton. He was at one stage a state MP, but I think he's done so much more since he was in the Parliament. And he's a man that he would be one of the most positive men I've ever spoken to, and he's always talking about positivity. So welcome, Victor.
Alan, it is so good to be with you. And it was wonderful listening to those young journalists just before the news and their vibrancy and their energy. And so, you know, there's a new generation of young journalists here in Healesville. And on the way here, Alan, I stopped in a marvellous cafe in Yarra Glen. And for the first time in my life, I had a Caesar salad toastie. And gosh, it was good.
Didn't know you could have those.
Am I allowed to mention the cafe?
Why not? They're probably not a sponsor. You can't give them their address, though.
No, the Valley Cafe. It seems to be a relatively new one in Yarra Glen. It was full of people, excellent coffee, excellent hospitality, but a chicken Caesar toastie. So food innovation in the Yarra Valley.
It's great.
It's optimism driving innovation, driving good food and wine.
Now, before you get a word in, because I know what you're going to say, so I'm going to say to you, because you always say this to everywhere you go, what's the best thing that's happened to you today? Surely it's not just a toastie, or maybe it is.
It was the funniest thing. I was complaining to one of my friends. I'd written to a member of Parliament, and they hadn't written back. And was bemoaning, you know, in this age of AI and machine learning, surely it's not so hard to write back. Would you believe half an hour later, I got the most beautiful, responsive email. So that was one of the things that happened today. And, look, it's been, the roses are still blooming in my garden, as you know, Alan. I love smelling the roses.
Yours look beautiful. How much time do you spend on those roses?
Look, not that much, really, but maybe an hour a week or the like on the roses themselves. I've been planting lots of daffodils, jonquils and the like, getting ready for the winter, spring. I just love the fragrance, the orange and the yellow.
They're terrific.
And what's really nice, because I plant them out onto my nature strip, and so the neighbours get to enjoy it.
So the councils don't complain, because some councils complain about that.
Our council's okay. They've got restrictions on the size of the box you can have. Right. So I've got a planter box. I think I'm within the restrictions, but it's just nice, because people, particularly if I'm out there, someone will say, oh, God, I love those orange roses of yours. And then another lady said, what's with the orange, Mr. Purton? Your Jeep is orange. Your roses are orange.
And your glasses.
You've got an orange.
Your glasses are orange.
Exactly.
So what is the orange?
Oh, orange and yellow are culturally around the world the colours of optimism.
Are they?
And Tommy Hilfiger, when he came to Melbourne last time, he bemoaned the fact that Melbourne people wear black and grey and beige. Yep. He said, if you want to cheer people up, a little bit of yellow and orange. In my case, it's a wristband today.
But you've got orange, yellow and orange.
And for women, he says, look, you don't have to completely change your style, but just earrings or a necklace or the like, just with a little bit of yellow and orange, people's eyes go straight to it. It's like your earphones here. They keep drawing me to them, where they're sort of nectarine coloured for those listeners who haven't seen Alan's headphones, but they really do draw your eyes to them.
So at the moment, things are pretty tough for people, and they really are. I get people telling me how hard it is to pay the bills, and particularly some of the people who retired a number of years ago and expected to be able to live quite well, and with prices going up, we've got fuel shortages, people are pulling into servos. So a number of people said to me, when you're talking to Victor Purton, tell us how we can lift our spirits.
So great question. Great question, Alan. And I often think, how much worse are the people who are in Beirut or Tehran at the moment? It's people like us.
Yep.
you know, who are actually, you know, under the bombing and the like. And so I always think of that number one, you know, how are we relatively? I was just listening to the head, just before I came in on the radio, they had the head of the Australian College of General Practitioners at the press club, and she said, actually, the health system's pretty good. You know, we have the third highest average lifespan on Earth. And so she was actually talking about the positives before she started complaining. But I think, you know, if you listen to the news, there's this constant negativity and, you know, we should be in a state of panic or the like. And so the trick is, I think, just to remember that optimism is a state of mind, not a state of the world. That as you're thinking about, you know, what's going right and what's going wrong, one of the easiest things you can do is just smile a little bit more. So I was in Bridge Road, Richmond yesterday, Alan,
yep.
And not one person looked at me spontaneously, but when I said good morning to them,
yep.
9 out of the 10 people who walked past me smiled. And then there was one bloke who was sort of standing there and I could see he wanted to talk. And, you know, he was waiting for his wife and he'd just been to the hospital there, the Epworth, and he's having major heart surgery on Thursday. And he's a farmer from Casterton. And we just talked. We just talked as men about life in Casterton and life on the farm. And, you know, for him, you know, anticipating major heart surgery... Yep. Here's a bloke who's a stranger, just smiling at him and talking. And then the second one, which I shared with your young journalists who were on just earlier, the second one is just change your question to other people. So instead of how are you, which Australians typically answer with not bad or not too bad, you say, "What's as you've just done to me, what's been the best thing in your day?"
Yep.
9 out of 10 people will share a story with you that lifts you and lifts them. And so, you know, in the midst of, you know, having to pay more for our fuel, I've just come back from Tasmania.
Yep.
You know, and the price of petrol was pretty high there.
Yep.
But you know, you fill it up, and as the Prime Minister said, and keep going. Now, I couldn't reduce the kilometrage I was doing, because my daughter was rowing in the Nationals, we were staying in Devonport. So you still have to do it, but... You just get on with things and, you know, we still had to pay for the kids' food and all of that stuff. So life goes on, but if we can just cheer it up a little bit with a smile to a stranger in a conversation.
I just need to take a quick break. I've got to ask you something as soon as we come back.
Sink your teeth into, but I'm past that now. Don't ask me how, 'cause I'm telling you we're through. Yes, I'm telling you we're through. With your dark eyes and devilish grin, dragging me into a world of sin, showing me things I could not begin to believe in. But your fire burns out, you are caught on. I'm sick of people letting me. Tell me that you're sorry. The bridges you burn got you scared and worried. You told me your love is from up above and you need me now tonight. But I won't be yours tonight. With your dark eyes and devilish grin, dragging me into a world of sin, showing me things I could not begin to believe in. That your fire burns out, you are caught on. I'm sick of people letting me down. You may want to fight, but I want the to a life.
Now, Victor, I listened to all that you said in the last little bit of the interview, and I agree with every bit of it, but I want to get a little bit more, well, what a person can do. So, you know, you're saying think of the better things and all, and I agree with every bit of that, and instead of thinking, oh, that this is going to go wrong, think about something better, or if tomorrow's not going to be happy for you, think about Friday. Accept all that. All right, so you rock up. You've got a mum. Well, no, I shouldn't categorise a mum. But anyway, you've got three or four kids, and you rock up to the supermarket, and you pay your bill, and you're able to pay that, and you look and you say, I've got very little left for the next week. So while it's very good to say, oh, yeah, we're better than the people in Uganda and we're better this and we're better that, I'm walking out of the supermarket. How can I not get a feeling of depression? What am I going to do to pull myself out of that?
So whether it's depression or an anger or an anxiety or frustration.
Anxiety, we'll go with anxiety.
So, you know, if you're an optimist, you're entitled to be angry and upset and frustrated and, you know, and say to people, you know, look at the price of food, or, you know, my coffee, my favourite coffee went from $8 a packet to $10.50.
Yep.
Yeah, and I thought, how is that? Right? And you look at, I mean, price of fruit. I mean, actually, grapes this week are down to $3 a kilo as opposed to, so things move around.
Right.
But I think one of the things I think both government and everyone around us has got to say is, we are in a position of relatively difficult.
Yep.
You know, that I don't think, I mean, the German Chancellor the other day said, well, we didn't know there was about to be a war with Iran.
Yep.
So something's happened that is unexpected.
Yep.
And I think we do have to go back and have a look at how our ancestors dealt with that. You know, our great-grandparents or grandparents who lived through the Depression, through World War I. I mean, the Depression, it was 30% unemployment.
Oh, yeah. And food rationing
and
all that.
Yeah, World War II, there was food rationing, petrol rationing. So we're not in that state.
Yep.
So I think each and every one of us has got to go and talk to our friends, spend time with our friends, have a cup of tea or coffee. And when I listen to the political class talking about this, I actually think you've got to be honest with us. There's a war on.
Yep.
The price of jet fuel's gone up threefold.
Yep.
The price of diesel's gone up, whatever it's gone up. I don't use diesel. And we are going to have to tighten our belts. Now, you know, it's easier for an old guy like me, you know, who's done his work and has got some good savings, much tougher, as you say,
for the
you know, for a young mum who's paying a mortgage and the like and off to the... So we've honestly got to say we've got to pull our belts in a little bit for a while because there's a war going on and we're better off than our parents and our grandparents were the last time there was a big war.
All right. So let me just say, and I don't talk politics on this show and I don't take either sides, and that's a particular decision I made when we started this show. Politics are right out of it. But how do you, as an ex-politician, or as a guy that's sitting there watching their news, a person gets up and says, no, crisis and petrol. Ah, there's plenty of petrol. Within 7 days, that same person gets up and says, hey, there's a crisis. So how do we expect Mrs. and Mrs. or Miss or young bloke to say, oh, well, you know, what do they believe? I mean, 1 week there's no crisis. Within 7 days, it's a crisis and nothing changed.
Well, of course, we're buried in crises. Yep. I mean, I've got a little document I keep at home of the number of crises that Australia's going through and national emergencies and national shames. I don't know how the Prime Minister or the Leader of the Opposition get out of bed. You know, they've got to deal with so many crises at one time. So on the petrol stuff, I was reading something someone said the other day. You know, they said, oh, well, we can't compete with Asia on labour-intensive stuff. And then someone else was writing, oh, well, we can't compete with their petrochemical plants. Well, if we can't compete with labour-intensive stuff from Asia and we can't compete with capital-intensive stuff, are we all going to be making coffees for each other?
Well,
so for me, I get really... And my poor sister sometimes has to listen to me as I'm yelling at the television. So this is absolute nonsense. Absolutely. And if for me, you know, when I look at it, so one of my uncles helped to build the Shell refinery in Geelong.
Yeah.
Right? When I look at Geelong and I look at the Ampol refinery that I think is in Brisbane, you think to yourself, well, why haven't we been able to build a new upgrade or a modernisation of it since 1965? Yeah. So and both sides of politics and everyone else, you and I have grown up since Hawke and Keating dropped the tariffs, floated the dollar. Yep. We have lived in a free trade world.
Yep.
And Australians are so much better off. You know, the price of clothing is half what it was in real terms when you and I were young.
Yep.
The price of a car, a television, a washing machine.
Yep.
So everything is cheaper than it was when you and I were young. Yep. And so free trade has served us well.
Yep.
But we've now moved into a world where the Straits of Hormuz are going to be a problem, I think, for a long time.
Yep.
Where we've got the northern problem of the South China Sea.
Yep.
And we, as a big island state, have probably got to say, we let it go too far. And we've got to rein it back. That's both sides. We're not being political.
Nah.
This is both sides of politics. Everyone in the country has benefited from free trade.
Yep.
But now we've got to say, well, maybe we've got to keep more fuel here. Maybe we do have to do that oil field that the Queensland government said. But see, the weakness in the Queensland government's argument is I haven't seen them talking about the upgrade you need to the refinery in Queensland to deal with the oil stream. So I think there needs to be a rich conversation. And again, not being political, what I'd love to see is both sides of politics saying, okay, well, your idea's not perfect. Yours isn't great, but let's get together and work out what the next 30 years looks like, and then we can fight about the next 5 years.
I've got to take a break, but my version of politics is, and I'm not talking either side again, we're paying all the politicians. We're paying them whether they're Liberal, Labor, or whoever they are. Now, because you're a Liberal or a Labor doesn't mean you've got the best sense of particular item, and what you said, the other one, we're paying for the both lots of knowledge. Why can't we have the best of two?
Because we're paying by watching free-to-air television, paid for with our attention to the advertisements.
Yep.
You've now got Sky, you know, which Sky After Dark, it's the most extreme people on the right.
Yep.
You've got other channels that reward the most extreme people on the left. So you are rewarded for sounding stupid rather than rewarded for sounding sensible.
Sounds good.
When Liberal and Labor say, we agree on something, it gets no coverage at all.
No, it doesn't. Oh, God, take a quick break.
Straight to the blue light, and I've been on this land. She took my
Welcome back to Community Connections, or you probably never went away, but we're talking to Victor Purton.
Well, Alan, motor running. I have never heard that music before. You are playing some wild stuff here.
Well, it's out of what they call the Oz Indie. They like to play a bit of the newer stuff, and that was out of the Oz Indie. So that was probably about 223 or something like that.
That's fantastic, Alan. That for the radio station to be promoting Australian indie, because otherwise all we hear is American music.
Well, as of that's changed. Used to be on between 3 and 5. Greg Carrick does an Oz indie show, and that's only tracks that have been released in the last week. Some of these are out of his file, but I mean, some of them are 2023 and that. The next one, though, I'm going to go right back, and it's back to the great Johnny O'Keefe.
Yeah.
And I've picked that because it's when we get to it, it's a sun going to shine tomorrow. And I wanted to put in something really positive. So,
otherwise, I would have sung to you a little ray of sunshine.
Well, maybe not. Now, all right, we still want to be talking about the positivity. We've got off the track a bit. We're talking about petrol and all that. Is there anything apart from our own thoughts that we should be doing to help us through these times, to really feel positive ourselves? Because if we get out of bed positive, then the rest of the day is going to be a breeze, unless some idiot messes it up for you. But if you get out of bed and, oh, yeah, we go another day, well, we're stuffed, aren't we? Person will be.
It's a funny thing, Alan, because as you know, I ask every person I meet,
yep,
what's been the best thing in your day? And there's a lot of people who I ask the question that's the first ray of positivity, that they did get out of bed miserable.
Yeah.
And here's someone, some boofy guy, you know, asking me a question about positivity. So I want to share something with you that was just incredible news. So Harvard University this week have released a new study that shows that the more optimistic you are in older years, the less likely you are to have dementia.
Is it?
Right? It's not a cure-all.
Yeah.
It's not a complete preventative.
But
the science now says the more optimistic you are, the less likely you are to suffer from dementia. And why I was so rapt was during COVID, we did a number of podcasts and broadcasts for Dementia Australia.
Oh, yeah.
To teach both sufferers of dementia and carers and people working for Dementia Australia the habits of optimism. So I was rapt that the contemporary science now, in fact, justifies it.
And I don't like to interrupt because
of course you're allowed to interrupt. It's your radio show.
No, I'm talking to you. But apart from all that, I've lost my thought now. You're talking about... No, we'll have to let it go.
No, because your earlier question was, what can people do? So the number one is smile more and ask that question, what's been the best thing in your day? The second, third thing is just to be more grateful.
Yep.
You know, like today when I've had my chicken Caesar toasty, I went up and I said to the counter, I said, oh, tell your boss... And she was looking out the window. What a great sandwich that was. And I said, and God, I loved your latte art in that orange cup. And I left that cafe and they were happy. Well, and I'm crossing the road and there was a young woman who had a bag. And I said, what's been the best thing in your day? And she said, oh, I've been to the bookshop. And we started talking about the books that she reads.
And
this is a stranger on the street, a young... You know, a woman maybe 18 or 19.
And she doesn't look up and down and think, what's this bloke trying to do?
No. And so that's number one. But so saying thank you more often, I think, is a really, really good trick. The next one is each of your listeners can do this now if they want to.
Yep.
They don't have to wait till bedtime.
Yep.
Just take a piece of paper and write down the three best things this week.
Yep.
Put it next to your bed. And read it tomorrow morning. Don't listen to the news.
But hang on, the best three things that's happened to you this week.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
It could be just something really small. But normally you do it, you know, what happened today. But I'm just thinking we're middle of the afternoon, so it's a bit harder. The other one that I really, really love is My Best Self. And again, all of your listeners can do this now if they want to.
Tell me what that means.
So they think of themselves in 5 years' time.
Yep.
And you assume that your health's going to be okay.
Yep.
Family's going to be okay. Society's going to be okay. Where do you want to be on this day in 2031? And you write the diary of that day.
Yeah.
So you might be on holiday. I actually did this for a local council in New South Wales.
Yep.
And out of the 55 people in the room, 53 of them were not going to be at work. So the boss was looking a bit green at that point. We said, we're going to need to get some temps in. So you might be on holidays. I mean, you might want to go to Queensland, or you might want to go to Tasmania. You might go to Bali. I had one guy at that council meeting. He said, I'm going to be retired and I want to be eating apple strudel and having a coffee in the Austrian Alps. That was his dream. So all people have to do, just write a diary. It could be one page, half a page, one paragraph. Where do you want to be on this day in 2031? Who are you going to have lunch with? Who are you going to have breakfast with? Are you going to go for? Are you going to be in the Austrian Alps eating a piece of apple strudel, or will you have apple strudel in Healesville?
Yep.
Right? That exercise is the most powerful exercise for your mental health, your positivity, and people make it come true earlier. I did this for the Bendigo Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
And that gave me a lot of time. And so after we'd done the exercise, I said, does anyone want to share it? They said, we all want to share it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was fascinating was, you know, because we were laughing and joking.
Yep.
But in the 2 years since I've done that, several people have said, oh, God, that thing you made me do, it's come true already. So if you're dreaming about good stuff, it's more likely to happen.
All right, quick break, and we're going to be back with more. That one in especially, Victor, Johnny O'Keefe and the Sun's Going to Shine Tomorrow, because very often we're so worried about what's going to happen this afternoon or tonight, we forget that the sun's going to come up tomorrow, and for most of us, life will go on.
That's such wisdom. There was a woman who died at the age of 107 in Shepparton last year.
Right.
And at the age of 106, she got interviewed by A Current Affair.
Yeah.
And the Costello reporter there said, now, what's your secret? She said, I never worry about yesterday because I can't change it.
Yeah.
And I know whatever stupid things I do today, the sun's still going to rise tomorrow.
And that's true. I just want to ask you this question too, Victor. I talk a lot about loneliness here, particularly in old age, or I should say senior years, not old age, but that a lot, particularly if the partner dies, I've heard so many stories of people just sitting at home watching TV all day long, going to bed, maybe go down, do a bit of shopping one day a week. Surely loneliness has, those people are lonely. How can they start to get positive? Because I've read a report that says loneliness, if we don't do something about it, will be as big a killer as cancer in the next few years.
Yeah, I think about it a fair bit, because there are people who are lonely because they want to be lonely.
Yep.
Yeah, there are people who...
Well, that's the introvert, so, isn't it?
Not necessarily. Like, if you think about Australia, since COVID, yep, we've now... I think we are the country with the largest number of people living on their own as a percentage.
Right.
So people living in three-bedroom houses or one-bedroom apartments. And, yeah, they go to work or whatever they do, and when they finish, they just want to go home and shut the door.
Yep.
And watch television or get on their iPhone or whatever.
Yep.
And then there are the people, of course, who've lost vision or hearing or the like.
Yep.
And just feel that they can't engage, and that's difficult too. Yep. So I think... the only person I can change is myself.
Yep.
And so this notion of, like even yesterday in Bridge Road, talking to a stranger who really wanted to talk to someone about his heart surgery.
Because he was concerned, isn't he?
Yeah, but he was standing on his own, and this stranger smiling and saying hello made it different. So I think we can't change the lonely.
Yep.
We can only change the way we act towards the lonely. And right. So I think, you know, for me, I think I do that mission almost every day.
Yep.
And I think, again, if I just urge your listeners, you don't have to, just one person today or next time you go to the shop, just smile and say hello to a stranger. I never cease to be amazed when I'm in the supermarket. You know, and I say, oh, pardon me, or gosh, there are a lot of choices on those baked beans, aren't there? They're so unused to a stranger talking at them. They sort of look at me almost bewildered that there's a stranger talking to them in a nice way or a happy way.
Yep.
So I think if we can, let's set that task for ourselves rather than for the lonely. So some of the lonely will be listening to this show.
Yep.
Right, and they're getting fulfillment out of listening to you and your music and your guests. Yep. So they might be at home, but they might be as happy as can be. So I think it's overdone, this loneliness epidemic. There are people who want to be lonely.
Yep.
Right? And then there are people who are lonely because of, you know, some disablement in sight or hearing or balance, or they're in a wheelchair and, you know, they don't want to be out in the middle of a meeting or the like.
Yep.
Our job is talk to them. If they're in the garden, say hi. Yeah, again, how many people walk past my garden and don't look at me until I say good afternoon or good morning?
I've got to take a quick break. We're going to be back with more.
Break.
I'm talking to Victor Purton, and we're just about running out of time, Victor. But
no, we're not. Holly Valance's state of mind. You and I have both been. Can everyone imagine the two of us bopping in here in the studio?
Now, what I wanted to we just touched on very, very briefly a minute ago, and you were saying about the particularly in the shops, because I think one, and I don't know how we've ever got into this, or a whole lot of people have ever got into this, where they think it's a bit of a sport, or because I'm feeling a bit frustrated, I take it out on the young shop assistants. Some of them are 16, 17, 18, with not a lot of life skills, and some people seem to think, well, they're there for. So I would think a Victor Purton or someone come out and say, what's the best thing that you've done, would probably lift their spirits, because I would think a lot of them are fairly in a shift, probably get abused once or twice.
I hope there's a lady in my local supermarket who looks quite a young woman, looks quite eccentric, tats and studs in the face and purple hair. And, you know, I'm normally there in a suit or a jacket. And she said the other day to me, she said, you are my favourite customer. You always lift me. Sometimes your question, what's been the best thing in your day, has come a bit too early.
Has it?
But she likes it. She likes it. So I think it's if we give the example to other people. So, for instance, I was in Euroa the other day. I had was driving back from Canberra.
Yep.
And there was a queue of people and, you know, the lady wasn't looking all that happy. I think she sort of looked me in the eyes and she said, gosh, you look happy.
Good.
And yeah. I was just standing in the queue with a smile, not a look of frustration. So, again, we can all be an example to everyone
else.
So
it's the aura we give off, isn't it, rather than being a grump.
And if, the, you know, just people will be grumpy and sometimes the shop assistant doesn't. I mean, the ones that drive me nuts are when you're waiting on the phone for an airline or an insurance company. And it goes for 45 minutes with them telling you they value your call.
Your call,
And then they have this little message that say, and don't be angry with the person who answers the phone. And I'm thinking, you have created a system where any normal person is going to be driven nuts by listening to this repetitive recording on the phone. So I think the companies, like the airlines, like the insurance companies that make us wait for 45 minutes or longer to get service have actually got an obligation to fix up their systems. Because, you know, people will get frustrated. People will get grumpy. You know, you might be talking about your health or something and you've had to wait this long. So I think there's a bit on both sides. But again, you and I foster it, Alan. Other people can do it. If you just say, like I always, when I go to a cafe, I always, if I can stick my head in the kitchen and say, thank you for that delicious meal, if I can say to the barista, God, that coffee was good. So yesterday I was in Port Melbourne in a little cafe.
And what's your favourite one? The Hurricane?
No, well, my favourite one is Hurricane Hanson because it was obviously named after me. But this one's a different one. And there were four young people behind the counter and I just thanked the barista for her beautiful coffee. All four of them lit up. All four of them lit up because how many people say, God, that was a good coffee?
Well, no, they don't because a lot of people just grab their coffee and go.
Oh, well, look, my children think I'm a dinosaur because I don't think you should drink coffee unless you sit at a table. I think $6.50 for a coffee, you're entitled to sit down rather than walk around with, you know, the coffee in front of your hand. When I lived in San Francisco, the most dangerous creature on earth was the person heading to work with their 1 litre of coffee. I was never mugged by anyone. The homeless never worried me. It was always the person in their Nikes, you know, with a litre of coffee held in front of them.
So they all drink big coffee over there, do they?
Big coffee, but takeaway coffee.
It's not now small, medium and large.
Well, see, I don't mind because I grew up drinking German-style filter coffee.
Yep.
So American filter coffee, as long as it's strong, is fine by me. And I must confess, I'm like the Italians. I don't drink milk coffee after 12.
Oh, don't you?
No.
Oh, right. Now, I've just about got to go.
No.
I've got to. Victor Purton. What is Victor Purton going to do on his way home today that's going to keep his attitude? Well, I don't think you need to pick your positive attitude up. You just get up with it and you go with it all day and you go to bed with it. But What's Victor Perton going to do on his way home when he leaves the studio?
I was tossing between going to the zoo at Healesville.
Oh, yeah.
Which I haven't been to for many years, and I thought...
Some of our listeners volunteer there.
Well, that was... So that's one option.
Yep.
The other one is to look like a dangerous single drinker and stop at one of those beautiful wineries. Or, in fact, just close to here, you've got a distillery. And I was thinking, I've never visited that. Maybe I should... Because when I was in Tasmania a couple of weeks ago, yeah, I visited the wineries and the distilleries and everything. Yep. And I thought, well, what is the Yarra Valley famous for?
Absolutely.
Good booze and good food and good radio like you, Alan.
Oh, you're a charmer. We've got three here. We've got one next door. There's one next door to that. And there's a big one over on the corner. There's plenty. And then you go around the corner and there's about three in another street down there. There's plenty of distilleries.
Well, if you see a jolly fat fellow in the distillery... Just say hi, it'll be me.
It'll be Victor. And the first thing he'll ask you is, what's been the best thing for you today?
Exactly.
Can guarantee it. Victor, look, it's always a pleasure to have you. You know what I think. I think you're probably the most positive man I've ever struck. I've never seen you in a grump. And when you're around people, you just exude... Well, I was going to say confidence, but it's not. You're a happy man, and that's the other thing too. If people walk into somewhere as a grump, then they seem to spread that. But people like you that walk in there full of happiness, all of a sudden lift the whole room.
I did an interview with the Financial Review, Alan, and the journalist left it as an absolute optimist, and in the article he called me our optimist in chief. So that's a title I'm happy to work on.
That's great. Unfortunately, I've got to go. The weather is there. Well, I'll be back at straight after 2 o'clock news. I've got our local president-elect of the Rotary Club of Appa Yarra. We'll be talking to him in choice tunes about the music that's been his upbringing and all about what he's been doing with his life.